Hello everyone, this is Gabby and you are listening to Subject to Interpretation. Today's interview is going to be with Lisbeth Mendoza. She's a certified medical interpreter and a medical doctor, as well as our medical webinar instructor for our online school. Before this interview begins, I wanted to highlight just a couple of the many classes that are scheduled to begin soon. So first off, our signature medical interpreting program is beginning on April 13th, taught by Athena Matilski, and this class is going to cover the modes of interpretation, medical terminology, ethics, culture mediation, all the topics in medical interpreting. It's an introduction to the profession, and it takes you all the way through so you have a well-rounded knowledge of what it is and what to do when exam day comes. And just because you're listening, and I'm grateful for you listening as I am every week, I'm going to supply you with another discount code this week, just like I did last week. So this week, this can be applied to the live online medical interpreter program, and that code is going to be STI Medical. S as in subject, T as in two, I as in interpreter, medical, all one word. And definitely stay tuned for future discounts because in the next coming weeks we have a lot of classes coming up, so we will be giving away discounts for this podcast. And the discount code is going to expire on Friday the 20th. So you have until Friday the 20th to sign up for the course, apply that discount, and get your 10% off. And for those of you who are already certified as medical interpreters, Lisbeth is actually teaching a series of medical webinars, and we have a few that have already passed and a few that are coming up. I'll insert the links to those in the descriptions as well, because it's a really interesting topic that she's going to be discussing with us. So without any further ado, I'm going to go ahead and start this episode. So thank you again for listening, and I'll see all of you next week. And happy Friday. This is Gabby, and I am your host of Subject to Interpretation. And with me today, we have Lisbeth Mendoza. She is a physician and a CMI, Certified Medical Interpreter, and she's actually working with our school now to create more educational content for our medical interpreters out there. So without any further ado, I'm going to go ahead and introduce Lisbeth. We're so happy to have her on the show and have her give you some insight into her plans. So welcome, Lisbeth.
Oh, hi, Gabby. Thank you very much. I am very, very happy to be here too. Yay. It's a pleasure to be talking to everyone here in this podcast. I'm excited.
Yes, we all love hearing from you, Lisbeth. So I wanted to talk a little bit more about what we have coming up soon and what you have planned. But before we get into that, I just want to ask you a little bit about you. So tell us a little bit about your professional background and what you're doing here with Delamora Institute.
Well, so I have been a physician and I have been involved in medical issues since more than 20 years in different aspects. And one of them, one that I really like a lot, is education, even education for physicians too, or health and other health professionals. So going in that line also, I became a certified medical interpreter when I moved to this country. And I figure, well, this is great because I love education and I think that medical interpreters can benefit a lot from learning more. And I know that medical interpreters are curious and they love anything that has to do with medicine. So I think this is a good way to contribute to the community by teaching what I know, using all my experience as a researcher, as a physician, actually an owner of a pharmacy myself, of a drugstore. So I have some experience handling that for a clinic. So that's what's been with me. And I'm also an interpreter, obviously a certified medical interpreter. So I've seen things and I've had the opportunity to realize what can be a struggle and which are the needs for medical interpreters. Now, with Delamora, I have been working for a while. It's been several years too. I will say probably 6 or 7 years that I've known, Agustin and have done things with him here and there. And one of the first things that I did with him was starting with this line of training on pharmacology or anything that has to do with medications. And now that I've been invited and I'm extremely excited and happy to be working with you guys, I want to reinforce that for the future generations. I know that there are interpreters who back in the day when I started with Delamora took some courses in pharmacology, but I want to keep, you know, informing the community because this is super, super important.
And things kind of keep changing, you know, with the medical field. It's always kind of updating, new medications being developed and whatnot, right?
Definitely. And also, you know, as the profession evolves, people ask questions and realize things that are every time more interesting and more convoluted as well and complex. So, yeah, I mean, we have to be, always, you know, thinking ahead. I mean, what is coming and how can we improve the services of the medical interpreters?
Yeah, things kind of always evolving and changing. So that's really great. And we're really happy that you're teaching this series for us. Now, I wanted to talk a little bit about that, about pharmacology and what exactly it is. Because I know your first webinar that you had recently was the part one of the pharmacotherapy series. So what is pharmacotherapy compared to pharmacology? I wasn't sure about the difference between those.
Well, pharmacotherapy is a branch of pharmacology. So it comes from that science, from the study of pharmaceuticals. And pharmacotherapy is specifically focused on the studying of how the drugs are used to treat diseases, how medications are used to treat diseases specifically. How is that a medication manages to get to the system, to, you know, the human body, to the, all the cells where it's supposed to be acting, and how does it manage to exert a certain effect that you were hoping to be a therapeutic effect, some, you know, treat something or prevent something, correct something. But we also understand that there are other effects side to that, obviously, because it's a substance that is being introduced into the body and interacts with it. So along with that, with the pharmacotherapy comes all the therapeutic effect comes the side effects and other effects or even unwanted effects. So, and based on all that, on that knowledge of, you know, the chemistry and the biology and the molecular levels of action of these drugs, that's how we know that there can be, you know, serious consequences of medical errors or medication errors. Mm-hmm. So that's what we are going to be talking about basic concepts in pharmacotherapy, how what is that is included in a prescription, how the prescriptions are elaborated, and what is the information that is most important for interpreters to really focus on interpreting with 100% accuracy and not really get lost in things that may not be that crucial, because they can be fix somehow. But there are things that interpreters really, really need to know how to interpret. And they're not as, you know, as scary as learning thousands of names of drugs. It's not really that the idea. It's other things that are more important than learning 1,000 names of drugs. Still, interpreters need to learn some names of drugs. But that's not the most important thing, and they don't need to learn 1,000. They can learn just a few and continue their education as they go. And depending on the specialty that they're working, they will be, you know, becoming more and more familiar with the names. But there are other things that are extremely important to interpret. So yeah, so that's what comes to what it comes to pharmacotherapy.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And then it's probably definitely relevant to all medical interpreters. Like you said, medication and drug use is like, it's a really risky thing. Like, you really have to know more than what the names are, like how it's doing, what it's doing to the person.
Yes, yeah, exactly. We know that, you know, if there is an error in the interpretation, there are going to be clinical consequences. There is no other way around it. I mean, and there are different kinds of clinical consequences. For instance, you know, in these webinars, we'll be talking about consequences or harmful results of medical errors. For instance, you know, which are those? Have you ever questioned that? And, you know, of course, you might be thinking, well, dying, for instance. Yeah, that's a very harmful one. but not everybody's going to die from a medication error. Yeah, of course. But there are other things that are just as bad. I mean, not as bad as dying. I mean, nothing is worse. But, but what I mean is that, you know, there are still a lot of other consequences that come when somebody is not really well informed on how to use medications. When, you know, the thing with the interpreters, the importance of the interpreters is that we know that in this country we have approximately like 55 million people who are speaking languages other than English. Mm-hmm. And their English proficiency is limited. That means they can't really communicate well in general, and then less than anything in a medical setting. The same happens in legal, right? So these are like very delicate settings. So given this, that means that the interpreters become like really extremely relevant in the healthcare sector or the healthcare industry. And these of preventing medical errors have to do with clear communication. So there are, you know, it's very common, or is one of the big issues that we have in public health, the medication errors, even within people who speak the same language. When a provider and the patient speak the same language, there's mm-hmm. still a lot of medication errors. Now, I mean, just thinking about it, you know, if the two do not share the same language, then the thing becomes more complicated. So that's what I want to emphasize in these webinars. You know, this is what is very important for the interpreter to know. These are the consequences. Even if he's not dead, there are other ones that are still relevant. You know, these are the important topics or the important aspects of a medication or of a prescription that you need to totally focus on and make sure, walk out of the room knowing that you did the best, that you were 100% accurate, at least on that. Yeah. Become familiar with terminology that you're going to be hearing from the providers, but also you might be hearing from the patients. So that you don't miss it. Understand the context. All of this information is really to help you understand the context, to gain all that extralinguistic awareness of the topic so that you can interpret much better, of course, and with ease, and not forget anything. And the thing is that there are studies that show that trained medical interpreters actually can reduce errors in interpretation, in the care of the patients.
That's actually a question.
English proficiency. Mm-hmm.
That was a question I actually had for you, is whether or not, since you know, interpreters should know a lot about the terminology and the effects of the medication on the body, and it's such a risky, you know, high stakes conversation between the patient and the provider, does the interpreter play a role in making sure that no mistakes are made by any of the other parties when it comes to talking about medication?
Well, as the interpreter plays a role in clearly establishing that communication, that there is no misunderstanding, that mm-hmm. all the instructions are clear. This is primary the role. They need to know all this terminology. They need to know all this, kind of like the context of an interaction that has to do with the use of medication. So yes, interpreters need to know these, and that's pretty much their importance. They have to be able to communicate clearly, and they also need to be able to, and this is more like a cultural intervention. Mm-hmm. And we don't really talk much, like a lot, it's not focused on cultural, but we touch on cultural aspects of it. Interpreters are supposed to be aware of the culture of the patient, but also the culture of the provider, to be sensitive to it, to be hopefully one day become extremely competent. But that, you know, the interpreter should be able to recognize if there are any cultural, misunderstandings or any cultural clues that tell us that the patient is not getting really the information clear, or the patient is not really sure of what he or she is being told, or the patient is not saying everything that the patient wants to say. But that goes a little bit further when the interpreter detects those things and then intervene as a kind of like a broker of mm-hmm. the cultural interaction. And the opposite, when the doctor wants to say something, the interpreter should be like totally aware of what is exactly what the doctor wants to say and not changing anything in there. So yes, I mean, even at that point, even the cultural aspects are important for the use of medications. For instance, sometimes in some cultures, and that's included my culture, and I know this because I've been a physician myself with mm-hmm. a lot of Latin people, of course. Sometimes the patients say yes, yes, yes to the medication and everything is okay. Yes, yes, yes. Did you understand that? Yes, yes, yes. Are you using your medication? Yes, yes, yes. And really, they are not.
Oh, no.
Because it's part of it. Yeah, so it's part of the culture that, you know, people are like, well, you know, I'm not going to contradict the doctor or, you know, I think I got it or I don't even care because I don't even want to use the medication, but they just don't say anything. So it's not saying that everybody is not like Latin culture is definitely like that. Anybody who belongs to the Latin culture at all, but it does happen a lot. So I've seen it happen with my patients. I've mm-hmm. seen it with my family acting as patients.
Oh, no.
those kind of things, I think that, and then if the interpreter belongs to that culture, they are aware too, that they do that or, you know, or somebody might be doing something like that. But anyways, there has to be some sensitivity or awareness of that and say, well, you know, but somehow at some point, call the attention to, you know, just clarify if the patient is really clear on how to use a medication and what is it for and stuff like that somehow. But that's a little bit like a deeper and long, long, long road to trying to bridge all these cultural gaps that exist and to make them clear, to bring them to the table so that the provider can understand, oh, the patient is saying yes, 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 but apparently it's not, no, no.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things, or if the person, or the other important thing is, for instance, the level of literacy of the patient. The patient may be saying yes, yes, yes to the medication and to the, even the dosage form, the way of administering the medication. You know, patient may be receiving the information correctly from the interpreter, nevertheless, is not understanding what the interpreter is saying, because the interpreter, the patient doesn't know what is, for instance, the let's say an enema. That's one of those things mm-hmm. that people are like, yeah, whatever. Until you do it, you don't know what is it. So patients may not even be sure of what is it. They have never used one, so who knows? Or certain ways of administering drugs, probably like subcutaneous injections or intramuscular injections. And they hear these things and they are like, what? So and they may not say anything. It's just that they are not health literacy is not elevated.
So if you have your doctor kind of telling them through the interpreter, you know, you have to take this medication, the dosage has to be this, and for some reason they're not understanding, but they're not saying anything, would it be your job to like kind of explain that to them or explain to the doctor like they're not really quite getting it?
Well, again, there's a lot of perspectives on that. Mm-hmm. I, as a physician, have my own perspectives too, because I work with interpreters for Mayan. Apparently, but it seems to me that they were ad hoc interpreters. Nevertheless, I really needed them help. Mm-hmm. And I wanted just to make sure that the patient was saying yes, 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 truly, that they really understood. And if the I had, anyways, as physicians, were trained to ask again. So, yeah, so I just told you this. So can you repeat what I said just to make sure that you understand what I said? And then the patient has to repeat. And that's when we catch that the patient didn't get anything, or the patient goes, well, honestly, I don't know what is an intramuscular drug. That word, what is that? I don't know. And that's when you catch it. But then again, as an interpreter, they might be listening to these interactions where the physician says, well, can you repeat what I just said? Just talk mm-hmm. back and tell me again what I just said, how you're going to be using the medication just to make sure that you get it. But if they don't and they detect that there is some sort of like the patient is not really sure, I will be more than glad from my interpreter to say, I, as interpreter, have a clarification. I want to ask something. I just want to make sure, ask the patient if the patient is really clear about how to use his medication and see what is the input and see if the provider agrees with that. And have the patient repeat it or say something about it if they're really clear how to use it and everything. Mm-hmm. And again, there are many perspectives about this. Some people say that you shouldn't intervene in that way. Some people will say, well, yeah, we can go that far because we have that incremental intervention model mm-hmm. as well. In my perspective, I think it's better if the interpreter is finding that there is some kind of miscommunication or some factor, even if it's cultural, that mm-hmm. is not really allowing the clear interpretation from the patient's perspective, then to say something about it.
So it's kind of like all about the patient, can just do what's best for the patient.
Yes, exactly. This is the point, the safety of the patient. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, with the medication errors, they don't fall just on the provider or the interpreter. They fall on the patient too. Mm-hmm. And that when the patient makes a mistake, most probably, and a lot of the times, is because they understood wrongly the original instruction. Mm-hmm. Maybe there are cases where the instruction was wrongly delivered to begin with. And then that becomes, again, the interpreter becomes, you know, part of this, because maybe the interpreter said it wrongly, or maybe the interpreter said it correctly, but the provider didn't. I mean, and then we can fall into that discussion. But the point is that the patient is the one that is going to be suffering the consequences of this medical or medication error. Mm-hmm. So yes, definitely we need to always be focused on the patient. The patient's safety, that's super important. And one thing, but the other thing is the adherence to the treatment, if the patient is really going to follow it or not, because that's another bad thing, the bad outcome of not being clear about the medication is that the patient doesn't use it, just like that. Yeah. And that is called non-adherence, and that non-adherence leads to, of course, not improvement or not results. I mean, the treatment is not going to work. So it's a waste for everybody. And yeah, it can be risky for the patient too. So anyway, so there are so many of these issues that we're going to be talking about. And again, you know, I think it's the more the interpreter knows, and we know it because, again, there is research that backups this. The more the interpreter knows, the more the interpreter is trained, the less the errors that are going to be committed during mm-hmm. an interview. So in these webinars, I want to present some of the, you know, some of the findings of this research. I mean, some mistakes that are just unbelievable, but they actually happened. I mean, it's serious.
Oh boy, you just wait, you'll hear the stories.
Oh yes, it's just like, wow, outrageous. Or even, you know, of the stories of not having an interpreter at all. Having a provider, or they couldn't reach out to an interpreter or something, and then the provider, well, tries the best to say something in the other language because they know a little bit, or bring an ad hoc interpreter. And what are the consequences of this? So yeah, so these kind of things we're going to be talking about. For instance, dosage forms, as I was saying before, mm-hmm. Administration routes, active ingredients, brand names, the difference, you know, what is a brand name versus an active ingredient, or mm-hmm. A molecule, for instance, drug, just the term drug, that's very controversial. Yeah. So that's subject to interpretation a lot. In what context are we talking about a drug, and how am I going to deliver that in my target language? In, you know, if there's in certain cultures, the term drug sounds, you know, when used like that, just pure, is like, it doesn't sound good. So it's like, well, I'm going to prescribe you a drug. I don't know. I don't want drugs. Exactly. So, oh, no, let's not go that way, because we're not talking drug in that sense. We're talking about these other type of drugs. So that kind of thing that we want to reflect on. And of course, the consequences of the medication errors And, you know, what is the most important information that has to be interpreted, like really 100% accuracy, where to find it? Actually, I'll be discussing a few types of drugs in groups, the most usual dosage forms and stuff, and also the most common side effects and the things to look for, the warnings, etc. So yeah, I think that this is extremely relevant, and it doesn't get old. As physicians, we need to get trained all the time on pharmaceuticals anyways, and right. medications and all these things that come with it. So that I don't see why interpreters shouldn't have that possibility of also being updated in medications.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. With all the updates, I mean, even a year from now, we could have a whole new webinar in pharmacotherapy that has brand new concepts that were just introduced.
Absolutely. We can even just have a webinar on the new stuff that was approved by the FDA.
Yeah.
That they might start looking at. Yeah, because that happens all the time. Yeah.
There's so much information out there.
Yes. Yes, yeah. Yes.
And I'm also wondering, forgive my ignorance here. This is like purely curiosity. Oh, no. With other languages, when it comes to the names and active ingredients in medication, I've always wondered, like, how medical interpreters do you get that across, like, into another language? Is it the same word in the other language, or how does that work?
Oh, that's a super interesting question. So, yeah, what happens is that we have different pharmacopoeias, that's what we call them. The pharmacopoeias are kind of like the FDA, sort of. Mm-hmm. Well, FDA is more like an agency that regulates, but pharmacopoeias include all the active ingredients, all the molecules that we're using for the, you know, for treatment or in research, whatever. So, for instance, in Mexico, we still use a lot the European pharmacopoeia. In the United States, we have a United States pharmacopoeia. Europe have their own. They have their own. So medications, usually the brand names, this is very interesting, because the brand names sometimes are the same in Mexico and the United States or even Europe, but the active ingredient is different.
What?
The active ingredients. So then it's like, wow, that's you know, very crazy. And not only that, but sometimes, and thankfully there are not too many examples of active ingredients where the same active ingredient is called in one way in the United States and a different way in Europe, in Mexico.
Wow. So you gotta be really careful.
it's very, very, but then again, there are not too many examples of that. Now, what is the importance of that? The physicians are educated on providing a prescription using the generic name or the active ingredient, which is great, because then if a patient is familiar with a medication from Europe that happens to be the same active ingredient, because they in the pharmacopoeia appears the same as in the United States, then great, we all are in agreement. But again, the physicians now are more aware of the differences in active ingredients names. Mm-hmm. So the interpreter really, the idea with interpreter is that really, really needs to become familiar with terms that are most, you know, the most commonly used active ingredients, the most commonly used brand names in the United States and that people can mention. They don't have to translate that or interpret in that way. There is no reason for an interpreter to try to come up with an equivalent. It's like, for instance, in like a second name or your maiden name, whatever, you're mm-hmm. not going to change it. You can't translate it into another language. It is what it is, right?
Yeah.
It's not like a Mendoza or, you know, it's going to change my name. So it's the same. So that happens a lot with this. This is the same. You have to use the same name and it's up to the provider to decide, oh, okay, so you're talking about this thing. Okay, good. Just make clear that we're talking, you know, it's exactly what the patient said. And the opposite, the patient is really clear of what the doctor said. Because anyways, they don't need to be translated at all in that sense. But the instructions, they need to be interpreted, and they have to be very, very clear. There is no reason not to be able to interpret instructions or warnings or side effects.
Mm-hmm. And I know sometimes like the doctors like write the prescription, or they like write the instructions somewhere for them. And then I'm guessing there's like some like site translation that goes on there, or...
Yeah, a lot of the pharmacies, not all, of course, but a lot of the pharmacies that belong to the hospitals and some pharmacies outside, they do have that service. They translate the tags that they put on the bottles with the medication. They can come, for instance, in Spanish. And they have nice. Good services. Yeah, sometimes, yes. But it's not really something that is available everywhere. It's only like in big, huge hospitals. And again, not everybody has it. So that's another interesting point, because pharmacies, sometimes they also need to have their own interpreter. They need to have the access to that because they want to explain how to use the medication. I don't know if you have been through the system, but sometimes when you go, you know, they get your prescription and then you go and appear in the pharmacy. And the pharmacist is very happy to explain to you other things. Yeah. they really like to do that. And I understand that because I love it.
Yeah, every time I get to do it too. Like, any questions?
Yes. And they tell you, oh, remember, don't have this medication with this and this and this. Or this medication has to go with food, blah, blah, blah. So they like to tell you these things. And I think it's never enough with information with medication. So if they want to do it, and that's actually their safety protocol, excellent. But then they have to have an interpreter to be able to tell the patient, right? The services of the interpreter in what comes to what it has to do with medications are, you know, it's super, super important and broad, that you can have an interpreter in any point of the safety in the medication use protocol.
So that's really great that everybody's kind of watching out throughout the whole process to, you know, make sure these mistakes don't happen.
Yes, because that to that degree it is delicate, and it's not like we are supposing that this is going to happen. Is we know that the use of medications wrongly are one of the most important issues in healthcare, in public safety. Yeah. In general. So then, yeah, definitely the interpreters need to get involved into that. And they are exposed to it. So interpreters need to have this. I mean, is something positive for them? Because they're going to face it anyways.
Yeah,
for sure.
Knowledge and this kind of overall guidance of like what to expect on that medical interpreting job when you're working with medications and stuff like that.
Exactly. And not only that, but I've had as a feedback from past trainings on pharmacology, that people actually learn more about their own medications.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, what to do with them. And, oh, they were never aware about these things. So it's even for you. It's just
for whatever's in your medicine cabinet and you're like, oh, I wonder what that does.
Oh, yes. Actually, through the webinars, and maybe, I don't know if during the recorded sessions, but in extensive workshops, that's one thing that I like to do. It's like we need to get into the your bathroom cabinet, and I want you to bring all your medications. We're gonna clear them out. But we're gonna see what they have and try to interpret that. So that's a good exercise for you to do. Go into your cabinet and see what you have in there, and see how much you understand truly. And that's a good source of learning, really. Or if you don't have anything, which is weird, everybody has something.
I don't know, always something.
Yeah, yeah, and there are a lot of expired medications.
But, oh wow!
Yeah. So, but you know, at least you can go in the pharmacy, and then you're, you know, for OTCs, over the counter drugs, in the supermarket, whatever. And then you can read the labels there, and you can learn a lot from it too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely good to know what's going on with that. And that's a good exercise. So definitely go try that at home, guys, and let us know what you find.
Yes, please. And bring your doubts. I mean, if you come to a live webinar, then that's your opportunity to say, look, this is what I found. And this is what it says. I mean, what does that? This sounds confusing. How do we clear this?
Exactly.
And also, you know, I'm also super, super excited when interpreters bring their own experience. And I think it's even more relevant when people bring in their own stories of how they had to deal with a medication or with a, you know, with a prescription, and how they, you know, the problem that came because of that and how they solved it. That's how we all learn. All the people who are involved in the training, both the students and the trainers, we learn more things by hearing your stories. and see how you solved something. Or if you haven't solved it, well, at least present your story, and then I'm sure somebody will have a solution or have something to say, including myself. But yeah, other assistants may have that experience as well and say, hey, look, this happened to me too. And this is how it was solved. Things like that.
Yeah, it's like learning from experiences is a really good way.
Yes. Yes, super relevant.
All right. Well, I think that this has been very informative, and I'm going to go look at my medication cabinet now.
Yes, please do.
What's going on in there?
Make sure nothing is expired.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on to the show, Lizbeth. Like I said, very informative. And I love that you helped out by giving a little tip. And I definitely look forward to the rest of the webinars. I saw the first one. I'm excited to see what else you have because I'm learning from it too.
Oh, yes. We're going to be talking in the next one about medication for pediatric patients.
So
we're going to be touching on that. Super important too. Yes.
Perfect. Well, cool. Thank you again. And well, I definitely look forward to having you on the show again. Hopefully we can do this soon. You're very insightful. And for now, I will let you go. And thank you everyone for listening. Links to Dr. Mendoza's classes are going to be in the description so you can see what's coming up and what's already happened. And I'll see you soon, Lizbeth.
Excellent. Thank you, Gabby.
All right.
Hope to see you all.
Awesome weekend.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.